Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Miller and Condon here on a Tuesday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. For the next couple of hours, Trent Condon, Ken Miller, back to local programming here for right up until noon. The BMW of Des Moines guest list sets up like this Tuesday for baseball, and we will do so at the bottom of the hour with our friend Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. Covers Major League Baseball. He'll be on the road throughout the playoffs. Look forward to catching up with Matt when he's out on the road, but today we'll pick his brain as baseball, Major League Baseball, comes down the stretch a week from tomorrow. The regular season ends, and then the playoffs begin on that Friday. I think it's the 7th, whatever the Friday is, that's when the playoffs begin. So Matt Snyder will kick things off at 10:30. We promised that we would talk some Vikings this week, and we will. Dane Mazzutani covers them for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. He will join us at 11:05, catch up on the Minnesota Vikings and their 2-1 start. Three games into it, what does that franchise look like? What are some of the concerns? Dalvin Cook did not finish the game the other day. Get the latest on the Vikings with Dane Mazzutani. And then Derek Duke from Heartland College Sports. Really good on football at Heartland College Sports. The conference fascinates me from top to bottom. I think the race is wide open, as we've seen here in the, I don't know, it's been a while since we've seen one like this, whether it's Big Ten or the Big 12. And the Big 12 to me is totally wide open. Look forward to picking Derek Duke's brain. Maybe he can provide a little clarity. We'll talk NFL football on the program today. I'm assuming we'll get into Iowa and Iowa State, as that both of their respective football teams will hold their weekly media avails. Campbell coming up here around noon, Ferentz early afternoon. Players will speak at some point as well. So maybe some nuggets will come out of that. Of course, Keegan Johnson, Tom Cakert, who joined us on Friday, thought that there might be some clarity today when Kirk meets the media. What time is that? About 1 o'clock? 1:30?
1:45. Players at 11, 1:45 for Kirk.
So we'll find out if indeed there is any news on that front. He is not listed on the depth chart for the Michigan game this week. I don't know. It doesn't seem like he's going to be back on the field anytime soon.
No, it certainly doesn't feel that way in reading between the lines. Very well might have seen him for the last time in 2022, and reading between even more lines, you wonder about ever.
Mm. Just at Iowa, or football, period.
Right. Yeah. Well, at Iowa.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll watch for that. That'll be one of the things to watch. Of course, Iowa State goes on the road, takes on a Kansas team that's got to be feeling pretty good about themselves. Mm-hmm. Their quarterback is one of the favorites in the Heisman voting. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? Well, not ridiculous. The guy's legit. Jalen Daniels is a hell of a player. There was a straw poll that came out at The Athletic. I guess Stuart Mandel pulled a bunch of Heisman voters. Mm-hmm. And Stroud right now leads the way. Do you know who's right now second, and I have it 80-1 to win the Heisman Trophy?
Stetson Bennett.
It's his teammate.
Brock Bowers.
Yes.
You fired at Bowers.
I did. Just the price.
Yeah.
You know, I got him at 80. I see you can get him 100-1 today. But he's second. Bryce Young. Jalen Daniels right there with a bunch of quarterbacks. Of course, Penix in Washington. Hooker at Tennessee. But we are so far away from declaring that race to be over. But anyways, good stuff. All right. So football last night. You know what? For the first, I don't know, three quarters, it was kind of
boring.
Okay. All right, I think the majority of people would use your adjective, your description of the football game, but then it got good toward the end. It wasn't awful, though.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, I walked away entertained.
I did, too.
And that's what you're hoping for, mm-hmm. right, on Monday Night Football.
How much Manning did you watch?
None.
I didn't either.
No.
I can't wait to see the rating strength. I mean, it was one thing to watch it when it was the crew that they had, and I like Lewis Riddick. Mm-hmm. I like Steve Levy doing either NHL or doing college football. Brian Griese got out of the business. He's now a coach with the Niners. And the Manning thing was new and it was fresh and you want to give it a look-see, and the numbers were pretty good.
They were.
This year, he's gone up against a couple of heavy heads in Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. And I just wonder, because I haven't watched a minute of it, and I loved it last year.
I know
loved
you did. You came in and I was not the kind of fan that you were at.
Right. Oh, Trent, you got to watch this. We need to talk about it. It's really good.
I flip over a couple of times and it wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. Now, Buck and Aikman, No chance.
I'm with you.
It has this feel. We talked about it after the first Monday night game. Those two guys.
It's a big game. It's a big game.
You know you're
at a big game.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The environment was great last night, too. Giants Stadium. It was really cool.
I was going to say decent because I'm not sure they're decent.
I don't know. Yeah.
Right. But when they're a fact, and the Cowboys are in town.
Absolutely.
Got a little juice there amongst those two franchises. But you're right. The atmosphere seemed to be, what it was once was like. Maybe not back in the 80s or, in the Eli Manning era when they were winning Super Bowls. But it's the first time in a long time that they've had that kind of buzz. Daniel, go ahead. You were going to say something?
Well, I want to go to Cooper Rush.
Okay, I'm with you.
Is he a top 25 quarterback?
Yes. Keep going.
22?
I was going to say 20. He's a good quarterback.
He's solid. He has been solid. Uh-huh. We'll see.
He's had three starts. One of them last year.
Right.
Two of them this year. And look, the people that assign a point value to a Kenny White's of the world, where he's got a number for every single player and their backups. The drop-off from Dak Prescott to Cooper Rush is not as significant as it would be throughout most of the other 31 franchises, starter to backup.
I heard Gil Alexander, who hosts the morning show on VSiN, and he, during his megapod that he has every week that comes out, and a bunch of different handicappers are on there, one of them mentioned he had it at 3.5 initially, and he thought it was too high.
Really?
He thought it was too high. The drop down there. Cooper Rush is a competent, at minimum, backup quarterback, and he's a guy that could start for
a handful of teams.
Half dozen teams at minimum.
Yeah, I think so. Could he start for your Bears?
Oh, yeah.
I think so, too, right now. And I don't think it would be a bad thing to put him on the sidelines either. Fields needs to watch some football.
What's going on there?
I don't know. It's a really...
accuracy has been a problem.
Mm-hmm. You pointed out this stat to me. Because I'd never seen the stat before, and it's one of those analytics that the old folks aren't into. The separation amongst the receivers and the core. You look at the depth chart.
Mm-hmm.
This is the worst group of receivers in the NFL, Trent.
Because it looks that way.
It looks that way on the surface. I mean, how can you blame Fields? Look what he's working with. Blah blah blah.
And they're getting separation.
Not so fast,
right?
This group of what you see as inferior receivers. They've got some distance between them and the corner that's following them.
Darnell Mooney is a solid wide receiver. Is he ever going to be a star?
No.
He has 4 catches for 27 yards in 3 games.
It's not enough.
That's a problem.
Is he
being blanketed because he is the top receiver? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he's another guy that separation has been there, and Justin Fields can't put it on him. I'm ready to...
The offensive line's better. The offensive line is not as bad as we thought it was going to be.
Look how they run the football.
I know it. And now David Montgomery being out, that's going to be... You just... How bad is it? Have we heard?
No, I haven't seen anything yet here this morning about what they're anticipating. It certainly didn't sound good initially.
Right.
And for the people who say, well, why... David Montgomery's been that offense for the last 4 years. Why don't you give him a contract extension? Unfortunately...
Yeah,
this is a reason. He's got
it's a rebuild, and he's a running back.
A lot of tread off that tire.
Uh-huh. And look, he's going to get another opportunity.
He will, absolutely.
Probably just not in Chicago.
Right. They're not going to re-sign him.
That's the business of football.
And that's the business of running backs anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the biggest mistakes Dallas made is what they did to Zeke, because he's not the best running back on that roster.
No, I don't think he is either. No. Tony Pollard is.
And he has been
Zeke had some moments last night.
He did. He looked a lot better last night, didn't he? Yeah.
He did.
There was a little more pop coming out of Zeke last night. He was eating after he got the touchdown. Saquon Barkley doing the finger roll after the touchdown.
It was good to see. It's been a long time since we've seen that.
Zeke coming over and doing his feed me. There's just, the NFL is so good.
Yeah.
I had that realization again last night. It is so good. Every single thing that they put out
there. Every other league wants to be the NFL.
Oh, it's not even close.
It's not. I mean, it's a 50 out of 52 week event. There's you get to the Super Bowl, you get a week off, boom, they're in Indianapolis.
Yep.
The next week, boom, here comes free agency. Then here comes the schedule. Then here comes the draft. Then here comes the mini camps. When Peter King goes on vacation, this is how I've always judged this trip.
Those early weeks in July.
The early weeks in July, when he turns the column over to somebody else, the NFL is for the most part shut down. And then when Peter comes back, he's on the road at the training camps. And the NFL, there's always something percolating amongst in that league. They do it better than anybody else. It's not even close, and there's a reason why it's as popular as it is. There's more close games. I saw this stat. Did you see, man, you bet the NFL, you're probably aware of this. Is it 16 or 18? Through the first 3 weeks of the season, there have never been as many games decided by three or fewer points in the history of the league. That keeps people tuned in.
Cincinnati just played in the Super Bowl.
Right, and they're 1-2.
Cincinnati.
Right.
Played in the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh. That Morbin franchise.
Are you going to see the Sacramento Kings in the NBA Finals anytime soon?
Probably not. The Winnipeg Jets in the Stanley Cup Final?
Right.
Probably not. The NFL? The Jacksonville Jaguars are very much alive. Do I think they're going to be alive when the calendar turns to January? No.
And 5 years ago, they were in the AFC Championship.
They were in the NFC. And 20, whatever it is, five-something years ago, yes. They marched into Denver and knocked off a unbeatable Broncos franchise and then got beat by, who beat them? Patriots,
yeah, the Green Bay Super Bowl. Uh-huh. We had Carolina that same year also get to the NFC
Championship. I was at that Super Bowl.
You were.
I was. Yeah. It was for Super Bowl 31 in New Orleans.
Right? Yeah. You had Carolina in year two also in the NFC Championship.
Under Tom Coughlin.
It can happen incredibly quickly. Well, Coughlin was with Jacksonville. Who was with Carolina? Who was the coach at that time? Coughlin was in Jacksonville. Who was the first Carolina coach? Oh, how don't we remember this?
See, I thought it was Coughlin.
Coughlin was Jackson.
Okay.
Him and Brunel and company.
Yeah, yeah.
Carolina.
I'm having a brain cramp.
I am too. How can't we remember that?
Well, A, it's the Carolina Panthers. I'm going to cut us a little slack. I'm anxious to hear this. And Jeff will get to you in 1 minute here.
I'm going to have to look it up all the time. Dom Capers.
Of course. Dom Capers.
Dom Capers.
Yeah, that's one of the beauties of this league. One of the beauties of this league that any given year, right, you've got a chance. Let's get Jeff in here, and then we'll come back to conversing. We're going to get the baseball. We will at the bottom of the hour with Matt Snyder. Not a lot to play for. Maybe the National League East. Maybe a little bit of seeding. Mariners have a chance to move up, but there's not a lot left. Jeff, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing well. I just want to talk the Dallas Cowboys and their defense to start.
How about
everybody's got their eyes on Parsons, and I think he was a little bit under the weather last night.
But
Marcus Lawrence with three sacks, given Danny Dimes the business all game long.
And then what did they have, 24 quarterback pressures or 26?
That what it is?
That's what they finished up with,
And so it was that high. And then, we all know about Diggs. If you try to undercut or if you try to throw, a ball in coverage, Diggs, he's unbelievable. He's really, really fun to watch. I think people sleep. And I'm going to give you a stat here. I think people sleep on Dallas' defense. They gave up one touchdown against Tampa. They gave up one touchdown against Cincy. And they gave up one touchdown against the Giants. So, I don't know if they get credit where credit's due. They have a top-five defense. So let's move to their offense. You guys touched on Tony Pollard, I think from Memphis. By the way, a third, fourth-round draft pick. I was saying at the time, and I was in the minority, they shouldn't have gave Zeke that deal. I think they got pressured. I think Jones got pressure to give him that deal, kind of just like Dak, but we can go down that other avenue another time. Tony Pollard's the real deal.
I agree.
They need to stop going this every other possession with Zeke and Pollard. They need to give Pollard the ball, and then if they want to change it up and, if they're inside the goal line, okay, give it to Zeke. Tony Pollard is the real deal. And I'm kind of forgetting about, is it Noah? I can't remember this receiver that Cooper has that relationship with. Because, I mean, guys, you've seen it. I believe Liam
Brown. Are you talking about
Noah Brown? Yeah, Brown?
Noah Brown. Because here's the deal, and I could be wrong. Trent, you might know more than I. I believe that Lamb led the league in drops last year, and he had a huge drop
last night.
And I know he caught that 1 yard touchdown with the kick. That was unbelievable. But these drops that Lamb has on a game to game basis is brutal. And I would have never thought this. Losing Cooper is a big deal. They need Amari Cooper, and I would have never thought they'd miss him. They're missing him. Guys, thank you. Have a good night.
Yeah, Jeff, appreciate the call. Well-informed, as always. I guess they miss him. He's Amari Cooper. He's a hell of a player.
One other thing I had in my notes. Danny Dimes. Daniel Jones.
What do you think?
You see the glimpses.
Yeah.
You see the athleticism.
Yeah. Tucking the ball. How many times you run for first down in the game?
Over 1,000 yards already in his career rushing. He is athletic.
Did he finish the night as the leading rush for the Giants, or did Barkley get him?
Barkley got him by two.
Did he?
Okay. 81 versus 79.
Okay.
He's athletic. You see some throws, and then it's just the boneheaded decisions. And he's got a coach now, you think, would be able to coach that out of him.
I agree, but they're not married to him. It was the the previous regime.
Right. They're moving on.
I wonder if they are.
Their defense has improved.
Mm-hmm. Where was he taken? Third, fourth, fifth?
Sixth, I want to say. Okay. Yeah, I want to say that's where it was. But they're just there's something you watch him. I can imagine. One of my best friends is a Giants fan, and he's livid at times.
Watching him?
You see the talent. Uh-huh. But then the stupid mistakes. He's not a smart football player. Duke guy that's dumb on a football field.
I didn't think we'd ever see that, Trent. A Duke guy that's dumb. I'm not sure I can go there. Maybe football dumb, right?
Yes, yeah, football dumb.
I'm guessing scholastically not so much. But this Dallas team, are they as good as the Eagles?
No. But they're not far behind.
I don't think so either. I think this is going to be a fun watch.
Yes.
Watching the Eagles and the Cowboys a couple of times this year, I'm in.
What do you think you can get the Cowboys at now? Because we talked
to win the division?
Because it was Cowboys from January, February.
Oh, head and shoulders, right.
All the way through until...
almost the week before the season started.
Then all of a sudden in August, it started to pick up. And this Eagles team, they're really good on the offensive line. Jalen Hurts, did you see what he did at the end of the year? Et cetera, et cetera. They were even for a while, and then I think ultimately the closing number, if you will, to win the division. The Eagles, I think, were plus 130, and the Cowboys were like plus 175. So let's take a peek here, and let's see what you can get.
I would
get.
Have liked to have taken a peek at this time yesterday.
That would have been better, right? Yeah, right. You would have got certainly a better number to get those division odds. All right, going through here, looking team props. No, team futures. That's what we're looking for. So many options here. Conference win. Division winner. There we go. NFC East. As we're scrolling, and there it is. Okay. The Eagles minus 300 now.
Are they that heavy of a favorite?
You can get the Cowboys at plus 380 at DraftKings. That's not bad.
No, it's not. It's not at all.
If Philadelphia came out on fire against the Vikings, that fourth quarter was a little shaky. Mm-hmm. And the Vikings just couldn't take advantage of Monday Night Football.
Who do the Cowboys... I'm going to look. Oh, my. How about this? You know, the Thanksgiving, it's not Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
But it's a rematch of last night.
Oh, not bad.
It's the Giants and the Cowboys. I'll sign up for that.
That'll get a number.
You think at 3:30 our time?
They'll be all right.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be massive. America's team versus a team from the Apple? Yep.
Yeah, that'll
I'll
be
say.
All right.
Who's the? Let me look. I'm going to look at Detroit's schedule.
They have Buffalo.
Oh, that's right. They're the early game because we were saving Buffalo. I mean, how out of touch were we? Our group was saving Buffalo for the survivor. We didn't even saw October.
Just to survive. That's all you got
to
do.
That's all you had to do. We couldn't even survive out of the first month.
And you had three entries. And I mean, some of us just have one entry and we're still alive.
Who's that, Trent?
Oh, right over here.
And you were at the game and you didn't stay for the end of it.
No, didn't see the end. Well, I saw it on my phone.
At the Vikings. Yeah, that's. I haven't been inside that stadium. I have to cross that off.
Watching,
what's the concourse like? Is it
wide open?
Yeah.
Move around.
Yeah, is it wide? I mean, you're not crammed in there?
Another one of my best friends has season tickets, so I went over and met him before the game and just talked with him for a little bit. Went up and saw his seats at where he sits and for every game. And when I was able to get back down to our area, I mean, so quick. And this was at 11:50 and got right back down there, even with everybody kind of milling around and making their
way. Where were you? This Pegasus Club? Is that what it's called?
Polaris Club.
Polaris Club.
Like the snowmobile Polaris.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And there was a big snowmobile right as you walk inside there. So, I mean, you can move around that place great. I was there, of course, a few years back for the Final Four and got to really kind of examine the stadium and walk all around and go inside the bowels and everything else. It is immaculate. That thing's beautiful. They had the doors open because it was such a nice day in Minnesota on Sunday.
Nice.
And you could feel that breeze.
You
coming
could
through.
Feel it.
Oh,
huh? Yeah.
Those two missed field goals early in that game, too. I wonder if the breeze had something to do with it. A dome stadium.
Yeah.
You still got to worry a little bit about
weather. But if they open it up a little bit, that's interesting. The only NFL stadium I truly have to get to, truly have to see it once. There's a couple.
Seattle?
No, that's not Lambeau. I got to see Lambeau.
Oh, yeah. You've never been
to
Lambeau?
I've never been to Lambeau Field.
What in the world?
I got to leave Ankeny to get to Lambeau
I know you
Field.
Do. We got to get you going.
I am. I'm going Thursday to Clinton.
Yeah, come visit us. Our listeners in Eastern Iowa, stop on out. We're going to be there watching Thursday Night Football.
I'm looking forward to the night. There's going to be a pretty good cast of guys going over there that have won this contest.
Even people that haven't won championships are coming over.
Is Bowen Camp? I know that he was reaching out. Is he?
I'll see with John if he's going to make the quick trip up to Clinton and hang out with us.
Yeah, see if he can come over.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to meet Ted Flint. I've never met Ted Flint.
Oh, you've never met him?
Never met Flint.
Oh, yeah, because when we were over in Council Bluffs for the Circa event.
I left.
You left before he got there. That's right. I've met Ted a couple of times.
Anxious to have a, well, I'm sure he'll have a beer or two.
Are they going
to
have a Stella or two for you there?
I hope.
Yeah.
I hope.
Dinner's I hope they have the craps table open. That's what I want.
Well, it is a casino.
It is a casino.
And it's a Thursday night.
Well, I want to see. Maybe in Clinton they start handing money over. I'm going to try. We'll see if that's
and
happening.
It's a how far of a drive?
Three hours? Yeah.
And there's no other way to get there other than I-80, is there?
Well, I mean, you know people. Maybe you can get a private plane or something.
Yeah,
but
no. I mean, other than if I'm going to drive, there's no other way other than I-80, right?
Well, you could go up on 35 over on 20, I guess.
I looked at that. It's significantly longer.
Yeah.
But it's significantly less hassle.
You don't want to deal with the semi-trucks on 80.
I hate I-80. That's the worst stretch of interstate I think maybe I've ever
in the Midwest.
For sure.
Yeah.
Love I mean, it. I don't know how you go to Iowa City and back as many times as people are due.
Yeah.
For that very reason, it drives me bananas.
Speaking of that, I am going to Kinnick. I told you
yesterday
I was out.
Are you going to the Michigan game? Oh, by the way, we haven't given Doc Fuller's tickets to the winner of our contest.
Yes, I was checking on that, in fact, this morning. And I saw there was somebody, I think there were 3 or 4 yards less. That was the closest that I saw.
I think his name is Tony Highland.
Does that sound okay?
I think he won it. No, I know he won it, but I'm not sure if that's his name.
Uh-huh.
So maybe you can reach out to him on Twitter to let him know that he won the ducats.
What did Tony have?
608, I think, was his guess.
See, I got a 634 here.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Well, that was the number, I think.
Well, it was 4 yards higher, I think, was the final.
Somebody went over by 4 yards.
Right?
Somebody went over by 4 yards.
This was 634. This was from Zach. So we'll do some checking during the break and make sure.
Tony, maybe you didn't win the tickets. Commissioner Condon's on the scene.
Make sure we get the right ones. And yeah, we'll check during the break here and get those because it's a big ticket. It's
it
a big
is.
Game.
Yeah.
Does Iowa have any chance?
Morning. Well, what's the number? Is it now double digits?
10.5.
10.5?
Yeah, I saw a couple of spots I looked this morning. It was 10.5.
And what's Iowa State? Are they still 3?
That's been pretty flat that I saw so far. Let's take another peek here across the board at college football because, yeah, the money continues to come in on Michigan, which isn't a surprise. I mean,
no.
Iowa still has the worst offense in the country. Mm-hmm.
They're still 131.
They're still
but they're within striking distance of Team 130, Trent.
Getting close to New Mexico State.
Right.
I mean, you shoot for the stars, and Brian Ferentz can...
Every team's got to have goals when they begin the season, right?
Let's not be last.
And so far after... Are we 4 weeks? Yeah, we're third of the way through the schedule.
No, don't say that.
That's true.
Iowa State, 3.5 now, a lot of popping.
Are
3.5 at Circa, 3.5 at Westgate, 3.5 at DraftKings. A lot of 3.5s now out there for Iowa State. Looking across the board for Iowa, Michigan, it is consensus, 10.5 every single place out there. One offshore does have it at 11.5. Money-wise, not a big gap. 56% of the tickets, 55% of the money is on Michigan for Iowa State. Kansas getting the money.
Are they?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
63% of the tickets, 53% of the money, so basically even there. But in terms of ticket count, people jumping on the Jayhawks in that 3.5.
Interesting. All right, we're going to jump on baseball conversation next. Our friend Matt Snyder. I saw this little nugget, and this has to be next to impossible to do. I'm going to ask Matt about it. So Chris Bryant is a Colorado Rocky. I mean, has there ever been a free agent have a more nondescript first year and a big money free agent than Chris Bryant did? How many home runs did he hit in the thin air of Denver, Colorado at Coors Field? How many home runs did he hit at his own ballpark? As many as you, Trent.
What?
Yep.
No way.
Didn't hit a home run. Did not hit a home run.
Admittedly, I haven't watched a lot of Rocky baseball.
Well, I
this
didn't
year.
Either.
But that's a while, right?
Yeah.
That's a big wow. Wow. Incredible. It's all about the money, though.
Uh-huh.
He's got that pocketbook full, and he can do what he wants with his money, I guess.
Indeed he did. He just doesn't seem like... Is he the most motivated guy you've ever run across, seemingly?
No, just...
He's just kind of laid back, easy going. I don't know. Not a real gamer. And that's... I could be dead wrong, and maybe that's unfair, but that's how he comes across. He had a hell of a go with the Cubs. I mean, What the smile on his face when the ball went in his glove, when it was hit weakly on the ground for the final out of the World Series. A smile breaks on his face because he knows he's going to field it. He's going to throw it to his buddy Anthony Rizzo, and the drought is over. And it was.
It was.
Matt Snyder joins Trent and I next as we talk baseball on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.com. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Well, we have weekly conversation talking baseball with our friend Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. Joins us when the season starts and is with us till the bitter end, and he joins us here today. Hello, Matt Snyder, Trent and Ken. Boy, October keeps getting closer, does it not? Can't wait for it to get here. Got to, what, a week from tomorrow, the curtain will come down on the Major League season, and then the postseason will begin, and man, it's got some promise. How are you, Matt Snyder?
Very good. Yeah, there's two races left, and one of them's the NL East, which is awesome, by the way, yep. But the team that doesn't win still makes the playoffs. So kind of wish we had better races, mm-hmm. But the playoffs being fun is a lot more important than the last few days of the regular season anyway.
No doubt about it. And pitchers and managers did us, a lot of us baseball fans, a favor because we wouldn't have seen Aaron Judge live, perhaps. But Tuesdays and Wednesdays, no football, so you're back to baseball. And looking forward to picking up that chase tonight as it resumes in Toronto. I gave this nugget to Trent before we went to break. I want to get your opinion on this. Chris Bryant is a Colorado Rocky, and a lot of people don't remember that. He didn't hit a home run at Coors Field this year, which is remarkable. They gave him a lot of money. How is that possible that a guy who plays his home games, and I know he was hurt for part of the season,
but
Chris Bryant didn't hit a home run at Coors Field? How?
Yeah, the main thing is that he didn't play that many games there. I just had to go and look. 26 compared to 16 on the road. He actually hit 5 road home runs in 16 games, which is an amazing pace. And then 0 in 26 games at home. 26 is a lot to play in Coors and not hit a home run. I would say coincidence, probably yeah. More than anything. He hasn't had near the home run power the last several years, as it looked like he might when he came up. He's kind of adjusted his game and become more of an on-base type guy. 2021, 25 home runs in 144 games. So it's kind of less of like that. He looked like he might be a 40 home run guy. He hit 39 when he won MVP in his second year. But, his highest total since then was 31. So probably partially coincidence, in part that he's more of like a line drive and gap power hitter than a full-on slugger.
Wild numbers there. We're waiting for one more wild number, and that's from Aaron Judge. Feels like he's pressing. Looks like that 61 is inside the head maybe a little bit here. What have you seen out of Judge? And national TV tonight, TBS will have it. Boy, for baseball's sake, maybe you hope he actually does it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I think in a losing effort. I think if he had 45, we wouldn't even think anything of it, mm-hmm. because it's not like he's not hitting at all or he's in a slump. He's actually, he's gathering base hits. I mean, he had a single last night. He had a knock the night before. He had 2 doubles the game after his 60th home run. So he's got several walks. So he's still getting on base. He's still hitting for average. He just hasn't homered in, 6 games? And that's not unheard of for anybody to go 6 games. It's just he's spoiled us through a lot of the year. And I think with those 2 multi-home run games and then hitting 60 the day after he hit 58 and 59, it looked like, okay, it's just going to happen right mm-hmm. now and it's going to get over with. And then that ball to center field that looked like it might be a walk-off and number 61 – kind of a tease job there. I it could be another few days. It's just it's awfully hard to hit home runs. All the spotlight's on him.
And I do think that, especially if we go another couple days, he really might start thinking about it. He won't admit it, but he really might start thinking, like, I just need to get this over with and get the spotlight off of me, because he doesn't like the individual spotlight. He likes to play as a team. He likes to be a team player. He likes to talk about team accolades. So he probably really does just want to get it over with. And the more it lingers and the end of the season gets closer, he really might start pressing a little bit.
Well, one guy that did get it over and got it over with a lot of season left was Albert Pujols on Friday night. It really and truly was. And, you know, back in L.A., of course, where he played briefly in his career, would have loved to have seen it happen in St. Louis, obviously, in front of the home ballpark. But what a moment for Albert Pujols. What a career that he has put together as he reaches that milestone, a milestone that a lot of folks I thought was not within reach, and I probably put myself in that group that, you know, he might get A-Rod. I remember saying that back in March and early April, but boy,
yeah,
it's asking a lot to get to 700, and here we are.
We definitely talked about that, and it was 17 to get to A-Rod and 21 to get to 700, and we just thought, you know, he hit 17 last year. He's probably not going to hit as many this year because he's 42 years old, and he might not have regular playing time as he did not last year. But I think we definitely said, yeah, there's a good possibility he can get to A-Rod, but surely he can't get to 700. I mean, 21 home runs in partial playing time at age 42. What a second half he's had. And you can't say enough about the career he's had, how good he's been for so long. And I think one thing that the second half has done for him is it had been quite a while since he'd been in the national consciousness. It had been quite a while since he'd been one of the best players in the league. And maybe a lot of people who were in their 20s didn't really remember maybe how great he was, being one of the best hitters that we've ever seen, one of the best right-handed hitters of all time, up there with somebody like Hank Aaron. And so it's been a pleasure to see him kind of go into vintage Pujols mode in the second half. Now, still, it's mostly against lefties. He's mostly platooned. He's mostly played DH, but who cares? He's
right.
42.
Right.
It's been an unbelievable run, and it's been so good to see him go out like this, because so many guys in their last year have just a terrible year and are a shell of their former selves. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see him go out looking like the machine.
Talking right now with Matt Snyder as we take a look around Major League Baseball. Of course, that game was on Apple TV Plus. So I get home, yeah. I was calling high school football, I get in, settle in, I saw he'd already hit 699. Perfect. Go to 671 on DirecTV.
Clubbed.
Not there. MLB Network? Nope. Though they were talking about him at the time. Maybe this is a FS1 game, TBS. Finally looked on the phone. Oh, it's on Apple TV. So I had to find the legal stream. And luckily, about 5 minutes before I got there.
Oh, you did see
it? And
I
was able to see it live,
nice.
Which was incredible to be able to see it. But how many people were like me, couldn't see it? And how many Cardinal fans that are used to just flipping on Fox Sports Midwest that couldn't see the hit live?
It's a bit of one of those hashtag first world problems, isn't
yeah.
it?
Mm-hmm.
But it is a problem.
It is.
Like, and I even ran into one because I had the Yankees game on first for Judge, and I thought, oh,
that was Apple TV.
I'll just leave it right there. But you had to go out and search for the next game then instead of it. Like, usually if it's on cable or satellite, I have DirecTV, whatever it's on, if they're on the same channel, you just leave it, and it just goes straight to the next game. And I'm like, wait a minute, why isn't the Cardinals-Dodgers game on yet? And they're like, oh, I've got to go back to the home screen and then find that. But I understand what they're doing, and streaming's a big deal, and there are a lot of people streaming, and you're trying to reach new audiences, and Apple paid them a lot of money, so I understand why they didn't want to give that up. But I also think that there's something to letting people switch channels and stumble onto something cool, which you don't really do that in streaming. And anybody who uses multiple streaming platforms knows it's not quite as simple as just changing the channel. You have to go through all these steps, and you have to go to log in. And I swear Apple's the one where every single time I'm not on it, it logs me out. And I even if you click on that box that says remember me, I still have to log in every single time, and I don't my wife always yells at me because I don't have all the passwords saved on an app, but I don't. We have different passwords for everything. But it, and then you get into people who are older and aren't as technologically
hand raised.
One of my coworkers is from a family of Yankees fans, and he said his 80-year-old uncle couldn't figure it out, and he called him, and he was on the phone with him for like a half hour, and he still couldn't figure it out.
It's true.
It's easy to say it's free, and all you need to do is create a login. It's easy to say to people like me. But when you're talking about different generations of people, I just feel like you're losing something there. And it maybe it's like a restaurant creating an all-new menu to try to bring in new people but screwing over their regulars, yeah. You know?
They took it off the menu, my favorite dish.
Yeah.
Right.
So I kind of feel like there has to be a better way to kind of, terrible use of words here, but to streamline it moving forward so you can make everybody happy.
You're preaching to the choir. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com is our guest. Matt, I read your piece that came out recently here this morning. It's on about a non-playoff team, but a team that you think might be, you know, you can see that there's a pathway to getting back to those playoffs, and that's as a team that certainly moves the needle here, and that's the Chicago Cubs, how they could return to contention in 2023. They've been out of this thing since Memorial Day for the most part, but I'd like watching them play just because you get to see some of the development, and the roster is going to have, maybe there's half the guys that are on the roster now are going to be somewhere else next year, but it's about watching a Keegan Thompson or a Wisniewski who came over in the Efrost trade has been unbelievable. Sampson doing what he's doing. Even Nico Horner and Justin Steele. I've enjoyed these kids as they try to establish their way in the major leagues. And, you know, an addition here or there, and there is, I think, a realistic pathway to at least contending for a playoff berth next year.
Yeah, and like I said in there, when you look at between the prospects at the upper levels, if it's Matt Mervis or
who's here, Andrew
Canario, and then you get into the foundational pieces at the big league level, which I think Christopher Morel can be a foundational piece, but he's not a star. Nico Horner is absolutely a very good everyday player, but he's not a star. You could probably keep Ian Happ around, but he shouldn't be hitting in the middle of the order on a contender. He should be more in like the 7-hole or 6-hole on the contender. So where it's different than last time when they had Rizzo and Bryant ready to come up, and then you could trickle that down to Addison Russell at the time, Javier Baez, is they had a bunch of guys who could be the centerpieces of a team. This time around, it doesn't necessarily look like that, but that's where the financial wherewithal comes in. And there's a big free agent class right there. And as I pointed out in the piece, there's always a possibility the Red Sox trade Rafael Devers. And the Cubs have built up enough prospect depth in the minors that they could probably do something like that and then afford to sign him to a monster extension. So it's, you know, this time around where they had to do it in pitching, you know, they had to sign John Lester, but this time around it would be on the position player side. It's at least one superstar type that needs to be an add from outside the organization, because like I said, they have a lot of good foundational pieces. Let's throw Seiya Suzuki in there. He's been really hot down the stretch as well, but they need those guys to be the middle order guys. And it looks like they kind of have, maybe you could fill out like lead off in the order and then 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, but you kind of need like, hey, who's going to be 2, 3, and 4? That's kind of important, you know?
Yeah. You know, there was a name that you put
where,
in.
Yeah. I was gonna say, it's a big off season.
No doubt about it. And a big name. And you put him in the piece. And when I saw Shohei Ohtani's name in your piece and how the Cubs may be able to make this work. And listen, that assumes that the Angels are not going to re-sign him. And Ohtani wants to play for a contender. But can you imagine him in a Cub uniform? I mean, how tough a ticket is that going to be every fifth day when it comes around and he's starting at home? My gosh.
Yeah, and to be clear, that was just, I was just, you know, speculating and throwing names out there. But it is, if the Angels made him available, the Cubs are the type of team that could put together a prospect package with 3 or 4 guys, 5 guys. That would be the type of deal that if the Angels are going to trade Ohtani, it would kind of be the opposite of what I was talking about with the Cubs. It's, look, we have 2 super-duper stars. 2 of the most talented players in the league, and we can't win. We need a lot more depth in the organization. So that's where the Cubs might be a match on that. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it's at least worth a discussion, and that's why I include him there. But, yeah, he would be a rock star.
So we've talked a little bit earlier this week. We're talking about Milwaukee, and though they still got a shot of catching that last wild card spot as we sit today, they're just a game and a half back of the Phillies. If they don't make the playoffs, they were a prohibitive favorite coming into the year for the NL Central. Yeah. Craig Counsell has been around for a while. It's taken him to the NLCS. Is he in trouble?
Oh, man, I hadn't even thought about it. Surely not.
I
feel like he's one of the best managers in the league year in, year out, and gets the most out of the team. And he's just so good at dealing with a pitching staff. And they've had a lot of injuries this year and turnover. And, I mean, he had to keep dealing with the bullpen through Josh Hader falling apart and then being traded. And then Devin Williams was unhappy about the situation. And then they had several bullpen meltdowns, like, right after the trade happened. Mm-hmm. And he's continued to steer the ship, and they got back on track earlier this month when they won that doubleheader against the Giants, and they've been playing pretty good baseball ever since then. I can't imagine that. I think that Stearns and ownership both know that falling short of the playoffs, this would not be on council at all. This was on a mostly lackluster offense who's totally reliant on a home run to bail them out. It's totally inconsistent, and there have been injuries on the pitching staff and some underperformance in key places. And one of those places would be Christian Yelich. Ever since they signed him to that huge deal, he's just fallen apart.
Indeed he has. Last thing, and look forward to catching up with you next week, because we'll have, what, two days left in the season. There's a new regime in Kansas City. Dayton Moore is no longer there. What does that mean for Matheny? Do you think there's a change at the helm of the Royals?
Yes, absolutely. I don't see. My hunch is that if they're going to move on from Dayton Moore, it's going to be a shift to a new school type in the front office, similar to what the Tigers did in firing Avila and bringing in Scott Harris, who came from the Cubs front office and then went over to the Giants under Farhan Zaidi. This is going to be a move in the direction of a new school analytical approach, and Mike Matheny just doesn't fit that. So even if they were up in the mid-70s in wins or something, it's just not going to be a match in approach. Maybe it's a situation where they have him come in and he just manages next year, because they're not expecting to contend anyway, but he's not going to be there by the next time that they're planning on contending. My guess is they'll just do it right away and rip the Band-Aid off.
Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. Have you got your plane tickets bought? Where are you going to be? When do you know yet?
For the World Series?
Well, absolutely. Prior to that, are you going to be? When do you head out on the road? Early?
No, just World Series.
Gotcha.
You know, obviously, I think the Astros and Dodgers are head and shoulders above everybody else. Yeah. But, man, we've seen how that hasn't worked out sometimes. Sometimes it does. Mm-hmm. 2018 Red Sox were head and shoulders. They won it all. 2016, I have to always bring up the Cubs. But, hey, they were the top dog throughout the season and won it all. But there were other times the Nationals were a wild card in 2019. The Braves had the worst record of any playoff team last year and won it. So, especially with more playoff teams, a three-game wild card round, man, it's wide open. I mean, can I hope for something like San Diego and Seattle? That'd be really cool.
Anytime San Diego's mentioned, yes, it's understandable why you want to go there. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com, covers Major League Baseball and joins us every Tuesday at this time. Matt, thank you.
All right, have a good one, guys.
Yeah, you do the same. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. We'll take a time out, come back, finish up the hour. Dane Mazzutani, we will talk some Vikings to kick off the second hour of the program. Derek Duke, Heartland College Sports on the Big 12. Miller and Condon are on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Grid bets off. Ready.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 106.3 KXNO. Here's Ken and Trent.
All right, final couple of minutes of the first hour of the program. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Well, I get voice envy listening to Gary Dolphin on that authentic brand. Boy, does he have a set of pipes on him. That's pretty good. I mean, he should be doing more voiceover work. He's good at that. Anyways, wrapping up hour number one. Your World Series pick is what? I mean, not what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still have a chance, by the way, for your preseason to happen?
Well, I got to look back at the notebook here. I can't even remember. I would guess I had the Dodgers in there.
I had Dodgers, Blue Jays. So I've got a chance.
2022 MLB, you got the Blue Jays over the Dodgers. I had the Dodgers over Boston.
So you're clubbed. So well, you got the Dodgers, right? Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got the Dodgers, the overwhelming favorite.
Let's see. Our first two divisions, neither of us are going to get that right. You had Seattle in the West. You're not going to get that. I had Philly in the NL East. No, we both had Milwaukee. We'll look back about little over a week from now, we'll look back and talk about how bad it was. It's so chalky with the Astros and the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. How about the Braves?
Maybe. I haven't.
Trying to find that
I haven't watched
team.
A ton of Braves, though. Mm-hmm. I don't have a good feel for them.
Now, I've watched a ton of Mets.
I have, too. I've watched a lot more Mets than I have.
I love that broadcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, the trio, although Keith Hernandez tripped on a curb. Did you hear that? Tripped on a curb, and he's out for the year broadcasting.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Walking in somewhere in New York, talking on his phone, didn't see a curb, and took a tumble, and landed on his shoulder.
So the Braves are your team?
Yeah, like, trying to find a dark horse. Because it's either the Yanks or the Mariners aren't ready for prime time. And now with Rodriguez.
Not with Julio, that's devastating.
I can't see the Rays. I guess I can see the Jays, and full disclosure, that's my squad. But if they get pitching, if Manoah can get Gausman or Berríos to go along with them, then maybe, because we know that they can pound the you-know-what out of the baseball.
They can. No Guardians? They've been doing it with smoke and mirrors all year long. Those young guys have grown up.
Yeah, they have.
And they have a heavy bopper in the middle with Ramirez and a really good pitching
staff.
So
they're going to get in the first round. They'll either get, the way it stands now, they'll either get Tampa or Seattle. I think the Jays are going to get the four pill.
Yeah, they're three games up right now on Tampa for that spot. So they're locked in. They'll get the three home games.
Not quite locked in, but relatively. They're close enough.
So, yeah, it'll be either Tampa, Seattle, or the Orioles are 3.5 back. It still is going to take a ton.
Trent, I purposely didn't bring it up with Matt Steiner. I'm saving it for next. It's one of the stories of baseball this year.
It is.
I love the story.
And a team that ultimately probably will not make the playoffs.
No.
But
they took such major strides forward this year. And it's such a great baseball city when Baltimore's going to. God, it's been a long time since they've been. Camden Yards is a destination if you're a baseball. It's beautiful. It really is. Hour number two. We're going to kick things off. We do a lot on the regional NFL teams, but the Vikings kind of take second fiddle. But we're going to do that with Dane Mazzutani to kick off hour number two. And then this fascinating race in the Big 12, Derek Duke from Heartland College Sports will help us out with that. An hour to go. Oh, by the way, Trent's play of the day as well. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.